Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Beautifully, amazingly, disgustingly, awfully good, and horrendously greatly, awfully bad, this masterpiece is.
Okay.
This is the book of all time. All right. I had the best worst time ever reading ACOTAR. ACOTAR stands, I'm with you. ACOTAR haters, I'm with you. This book is it.
But, I don't think this is love. But, if this is love, I don't want it. It sounds terrible.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Tudor Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
And I'm the other host, Richard.
And two masculine men who aren't compensating at all are reviewing
ACOTAR.
Yeah, baby.
A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Okay. So sometimes we don't know how we have a YouTube channel. So what we're doing today is, Rich, you have not read the masterpiece of ACOTAR.
No, I haven't. I've read it, but I'm...
No, you have not read it.
I'm excited. I haven't read it, but I'm excited. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready to be amazed.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give a... not a spoiler free. Okay. If you're coming to this video, I'm going to spoil the book for you, Rich. I have read ACOTAR thoroughly. Look at my notes. Okay. I have read this book.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the whole plot.
The whole plot. You're going to give me spoilers for this book?
The whole thing.
Okay. I have heard that for most romance type novels, like, the spoilers don't matter.
Not as much.
It doesn't matter. What matters is the relationship and the, like, the push and pull.
Precisely. Precisely.
So, spoilers don't matter.
No. So I'm going to spoil the book for you. I'm going to give you plot point by plot point on just how beautifully, amazingly, disgustingly, awfully good and horrendously greatly awfully bad this masterpiece is.
Okay.
This is the book of all time. All right. I had the best worst time ever reading ACOTAR. ACOTAR stands, I'm with you. ACOTAR haters, I'm with you. This book is it. This is where fiction ends. So I'm gonna spoil.
And then after that, we're gonna make a editing cut, and I will have read the book.
Yes, and then we'll actually talk about with Rich. We'll go through our review of the book. But I'm just gonna give you the plot.
Go ahead.
You ready for this?
Lay it on to me.
So this book is about, there's fairies in this magical realm, and the main character's name is Fairy.
What?
F-E-Y-R-E. That's how I read it.
Wait. Is this a human that's named Fairy?
Yes.
Oh.
So her name is Fairy, and there's fairies. Let's start with that premise, okay? You with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. Here's where it starts. Our main character, Fairy, and I'm not gonna lie, the first couple of chapters for ACOTAR, I was going like, I get it. So she's living a troubled home life. Her mother passed away. The father, his leg's broken and he's paralyzed in a sense. Her sisters don't appreciate her in a sense. She is the provider of the family. She's the youngest sister for this family.
Okay.
And she has to go hunt. So the inciting into this book is she's hunting, and these humans, they're cast away on the very bottom of this continent. Back in the war against the fairies, they lost. And during this treaty, they got the little small sliver of land right at the bottom. I'm like, okay, interesting.
Cool.
How'd that
interesting.
Happen? Oh, this is...
Sounds like fun world building.
Exactly. Precisely. And so she's going hunting, and there's this rule, you can't kill the fairies, but she's going, getting food for her family. She sees a wolf. And when she sees that wolf, she goes, that almost looks like a fairy. Fairy says it almost looks like a fairy.
Wait, how does a wolf look like a fairy?
Fairies can shapeshift. You didn't know this?
Not particularly, but if it can shapeshift and look like a wolf, how does she know it looks like a fairy?
Because it was a big wolf. We're getting to the good stuff. She puts in like an ash arrow type thing because this ash from the ash tree can kill the fairies.
Okay, got it.
She kills the wolf. It is a fairy. Okay, she goes back, how she finds out it's a fairy because she's feeding her family from the wolf fairy thing, and this other fairy comes.
Whoa.
Yeah, yep.
She killed the wolf, and she's feeding her family the wolf.
Yes.
Which is a fairy.
Yes. they got to eat. They're starving. They're a hungry family.
Okay.
Rich, catch up with me here.
Okay? I'm with you.
So
I'm with you.
She's feeding her family the wolf fairy sentient human thing.
Yeah, that's the concerning part. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's feeding the family, and then this other fairy comes and goes, you're eating my friend.
Valid, right. a valid reason to be upset.
Good objection, right? So you ate my friend, what do you do? And is very angry and says, you have two options. Either I basically kill you or you come with me, because a life for a life, you gotta come with me because you killed my friend, type of thing. Now, I was thrown off by this. Just Sarah J. Maas, I mean this in the best and worst way. This is the best 4 out of 10 book I've ever read. It gets better. Like, I genuinely did not have a bad time. You know when you go and you watch TLC, 90 Day Fiancé? Yeah. This is your book. This is the book for you. I'm enthusiastic about when you read this book. Because
okay, good.
Here's what happens. So takes her away from the family because that's part of the treaty. We'll get to that.
So,
any questions at this point about what happened in the inciting incident?
So the humans can just kill them as long as they, you know, go with them?
At this point in the book, yes. Basically, there's the, hey.
This seems a little uneven.
Little uneven, but hey, it gets answered later. It gets answered. I was very confused at that point. That doesn't seem like weird. So you either killed and ate his friend and you're cool with him coming, with her coming to your house, type of thing.
Yeah, that seems strange.
A bit strange. A bit strange. So what ends up happening is that fairy that came down, his name's Tamlin. And spoilers, of course, Tamlin and fairy, that's the romance. The guy that comes and takes her, that's the whole romance that's starting and brewing.
Okay.
So Tamlin is this fairy. And when the fairy's in their human form, so fairy goes back to Tamlin's area and household. And I think it's called the Spring Court or something. That manor area.
Fairy place.
In this huge continent, but their section, and Tamlin's one of the high fae. He owns this area, but he has a mask on his face. And so do all the other people, you know, Phantom of the Opera-esque type thing, right? They all got masks.
Okay.
And so she can't see underneath the mask ever, because this blight thing, that there's this thing called the blight that cursed them all, and they have to wear masks permanently because of the curse. You follow?
Okay.
Any questions?
Why?
Because of the blight.
What's the blight?
It's the magic.
This didn't help them out in the war?
No, the blight's bad. This happened like 50 years ago. It's been expanding, and because of that magic stuff, they have to have the masks on. If I'm understanding correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, ACOTAR people.
Doesn't affect humans.
No.
Humans are good.
No, the fairies. It's affecting the fairies. Well, specifically this court, because they were wearing masks during this party type thing, and when the blight thing happened, which will be explained later,
okay, the
masks are stuck on them because of the magic.
I get it. The magic went through and basically heated up their face. They got really flushed, and then the mask fused to their face.
Sweaty and sensual, yes.
Got it.
You're with me. So she goes with Tamlin, this person that took her from her family type thing, and she is a free prisoner, in a sense, where she...
Those are oxymorons.
Exactly. So she has the right to leave, but if she leaves, she'll probably die because there's a bunch of monsters and creatures. So Tamlin took her and says, hey, you do have the right to leave.
Hey, Austin from the future coming in to correct what I said here. I had this wrong. So Fairy or Feyre has the right to roam around and eat and has all this luxury inside of the manor with Tamlin, but she cannot leave. So that I had that wrong. She's not free to leave, but she's free to roam around and kind of enjoy life, but not leave and go back home, at least at first. So I mixed that up in my head. Sorry, I just wanted to correct that before continued listening to the podcast.
You're free to go, but you're here. And you should stay here because you're safer here.
But wasn't the whole agreement of, like, I own you now because you took the life of my friend?
Precisely. Now,
so all the agreement is, I just got to take you away, but then you can go back if you want.
That's what I was questioning. It does answer it by the end. We'll get there.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm going, like, what's going on here? Sarah J. Maas, come on, hook me in. What's going on here?
All right. Okay? Seems like a lot of contrived situations to put the...
I was confused. I didn't know what was connecting. I was putting it together, but here's what happens next. So they have all these masks on, and the sexual tension's increasing between her and Tamlin. Of course, there's some other characters I won't get into.
I mean, it is pretty hot when someone kills your best friend. That's... I mean, man. I mean, if I ever come across a woman that actually gets to kill you, man, that'd be just so hot.
This video will be the start of it, too. So there's like hundreds of scenes. Okay, there's probably a couple. But where they're all like, hey, fairy, don't go out. It's dangerous. There's monsters and stuff. And she goes out. and she doesn't listen. And especially on this one night where Tamlin, the other people, I think Lucien is the other fairy's name. Like,
I mean,
the
I wouldn't listen to my food either.
I would exactly. why would you're listening to the people like were captors to you? I go, of course you're gonna.
Well, no, I mean, I just don't listen to the food on my plate.
True.
If a cow tells me not to leave the farm.
Stay.
I'm not listening to the cat.
Stay or leave, right?
Yeah, I'm not listening to the steak.
So there's all these scenes where she's told not to go out, and especially this one night. Here's our midpoint of the book. This is where it starts to get all Akatari, okay?
Okay.
There's this one night, and it's called the Fire Night, which signals the start of spring, okay? And basically what Tamlin does, they say, hey, fairy, stay inside. Don't come out. She doesn't know why. She goes out, of course. But Tamlin, during this night, during this ritual, turns an animalistic and feral.
I see where this is
and
going.
And since Fairy, our main character, is so hot, since she's the one, she can't attend or else he won't be able to control himself. And she'll see a different side of Tamlin if she goes out.
All right.
And it gets rough, you know? So she goes and he smells her.
Yeah.
Gets her scent, okay?
As you do.
And I got this Reddit title thing from the Akatar subreddit. Yeah. And this user, Jolly_refrigerator40, posts, did Tamlin actually sleep with someone else during the Great Rite? And then underneath goes, that's it, LOL. It's giving me the ick so hard.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
He slept with other people in the Great... I should have mentioned that for context.
Yeah.
During the Great Fire thingy, he's going around like he's feral. He's sleeping with people for the ritual type thing. And...
Yeah. As beasts do,
he's
apparently.
A beast, and okay. Fairy's also out there. And so when she goes out and she gets in this situation with Tamlin, oh no. Tamlin's all feral. He goes up, he bites her a little bit, gives a little nibble. You want... You know, here, I'm actually going to read off the page, if you don't mind.
Give it
Let
to me.
Okay.
Give it to me.
So... You know, he's going and sleeping with other people, and Fairy, from this point of view, is saying, why would I want someone's leftovers, I said, making to push him away. He grabbed my hands again and bit my neck. I cried out as his teeth clamped onto the tender spot where my neck met my shoulder. I couldn't move, couldn't think, and my world narrowed to the feeling of his lips and teeth against skin. He didn't pierce my flesh, but rather bit to keep me pinned. The push of his body against mine, the hard and the soft, made me see red, see lightning, made me grind my hips against his. I should hate him for his stupid ritual, for the female he'd been with tonight. His bite lightened.
She
and his
killed his friend.
We're getting to that. Listen, it's sensual. His bite lightened, and his tongue caressed the places his teeth had been. He didn't move. He just remained in that spot, kissing my neck. Intently. Territorially, lazily, heat pounded between my legs, and as he ground his body against me, against every aching spot, a moan slipped past my lips. Sorry, buddy. And it goes on from there.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Question here.
Yes.
What's the character development like between these two before this?
You know, it's
did they actually start like getting to know each other? Is there some type of tension? Or
no hand holding
like,
yet.
No, none of that. Nope. Just understanding of like, oh, I don't know who he is, and then I start to learn some positive things. Like I start to understand him. Is there like,
you know,
something of like where they?
I'll be the first to say there was. Here's the weird vibes of he was basically saying, I'm taking care of your family. They're okay. I sent.
Why
them.
Would he?
We're getting to that. We're still. I had a lot of questions too, but he says, "Hey, I'm taking care of your family. They're good. You're also safe here. Here's food. You can join us for dinner. Don't leave. You'll die. But also, you're free." It was that kind of setting.
Huh.
Yep. I had that. I said that too. I said, "Huh."
I'm having a lot of very negative stereotypical thoughts.
But just wait till you read it, okay?
All right.
So the plot's continuing, and after this night that they had, they're starting to connect, and their bond grows since then because she sees a different side of them. They're from here. They have their scenes, okay?
Okay.
And Tamlin one night says, "Hey, I love you."
All right.
Fairy, she can't say it back. She can't say the words "I love you" back.
Yeah, I mean,
but Tamlin does love the person that killed his friend so far. So far.
Yeah.
We're getting to that. I promise. The tension here is it's palpable. And so he says, I love you. She can't say it back. Background here. It's a lot to condense into here.
To Fairy, I mean, he's just a big hunk of meat.
Big hunk of meat.
Sometimes you sleep with the hunk of meat. Sometimes you eat them.
What's the difference? So
dinner, a late night snack.
Nice.
Sometimes, you know, depends on the night.
This is the most insight you've ever given to a review, actually. This is beautiful. So he says, I love you, she can't say it back. And in the background here, the blight is expanding and growing. It's getting worse. Tamlin sends her back home to stay safe.
Quickly, what is the blight? Explain, like, specifically what it is.
It's bad.
Is it, like, fog? Is it, like, just an area of curse where things are weird? Like, what is it?
So during the blight,
is expanding, must be of something.
Yeah, substance. A lot of the different, there's some evil creatures. And so not just fairies, but there's these other type of imagined fantasy creatures that are evil so that they whisper and they can lure you and kill you type of things in the woods out there. So there's these different things that are becoming more free and able to kill people. And so that kind of blight's growing.
It's the zone of weird. The zone of weird is expanding.
The zone of weird is expanding. Yes.
Got it.
Yes. And so that's expanding. So Tamlin sends Fairy back home to go take care of things. Oh, I also do want to mention, because this is important for later in the plot, that Fairy, during the ritual night with Tamlin, some of the people from the big court area that we'll find out more about, this court, I'll explain that later, but some people from the outside came and asked, oh, who's this girl, Fairy? And some person, Rice, I forget his name exactly, but asks her, hey, what's your name? And she knows they're looking to kill her or her family back home. She knows they're against Tamlin, and they're like, oh, Tamlin likes this girl. Let me find out her name so I can hurt her family back home, is basically the mentality, right?
Okay.
So she gives a fake name of some villager in a nearby town. A real name of someone she knew during childhood that was in a different town so that she could throw off the trail.
Why not give a fake name? Make it completely fake. No,
she gave a completely real name of someone she knew.
Why?
Because.
That's terrible. Fairy's a terrible person.
She's awful. Just wait till you find out what happened. Because.
Does this random villager, like, slight her at one point?
No.
Charged her too much for bread?
Seems like a great person.
I don't want them to hurt my family. Go hurt that other family over there.
Precisely.
Oh.
And so she gives that other name. So there's a weird thing. Maybe the thought was if she gave a fake name, it would have came back and hurt Tamlin. I don't know. Maybe there's something like that. But moving on from that, she gets sent back home because the blight's expanding. Tamlin's and all this happening. So she goes back home. Her family's member was kind of wiped, except for her sister didn't get wiped during the thingy, whatever. Not
wiped? What do you mean?
The fairies, so that they wouldn't know she was taken away by the fairy. Because when that was happening, Tamlin came in. The whole family was there and huddled down. And like, oh, I'm... fairies are real, because fairies weren't known. They didn't know what they looked like. There was all this lore about fairies in the beginning. There's some context I should have given there.
Probably.
But basically, their memories were wiped. This thing happens, whatever. And so she comes back. Her father and sister thought that the memory that was filled in there was that she was visiting her aunt, not going to the fairyland and being taken away.
Okay.
Small subplot point. We're not back home for too long. I'll skip to the important part of where she decides. The sexy part. It's getting sexy. So she goes back to Tamlin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So even during the blight, she's
feeling...
it
was dangerous.
But she didn't say, I love you.
But I thought it was dangerous for her to be out there.
It's dangerous, but she's going back because the whole love thing, she feels... She's like, oh, I should have stayed. I should have never left him.
How did she survive?
She goes back... It's happening, okay? She goes through. She goes through, and she gets back, and Tamlin's gone. The whole thing's like almost ransacked. It's empty, except for Alice, who is one of the servants there.
Uh-huh.
This is three-quarters way through the book, just about, is updating her on, hey, here's actually the news. Here's actually what's going on. Tamlin's gone. He was taken. The blight is actually another word for Amarantha. Amarantha is the big bad villain, okay? And she also reveals the whole treaty thing about the whole treaty that Tamlin was talking about, where either you die or we take you. That's not real. The whole thing is Tamlin is cursed by Amarantha with the mask, and Amarantha took all the powers from the High Fae. She took all their powers during this one night, and she's uber powerful and controls everyone. She can do all the sorts of magic, and Tamlin and all their powers are very muted. They could still do things like shapeshift, but they can't do a lot of magic. Their magic is limited because of Amarantha, and Amarantha loved Tamlin, okay? And as a curse, was like, here's the curse, Tamlin. It's something like this. Something like this, where she said, Tamlin, your curse is, like, if you can get a human to love you, the curse goes away. That kind of thing. And Tamlin's whole thing was the only way to get a human to love him, it would have to be through a person, a human, that genuinely hated fairies. And to genuinely hate the fairies, you had to, a test was to kill Tamlin's friend, because meaning that bear with me, then ask the question, okay? So Fairy, our main character, kills the wolf fairy to show, I love this book so much, to show that she actually does hate fairies, so that the curse can be broken and Tamlin and Fairy can, if she says I love you to him, the curse is broken type of situation. Does that make sense?
Okay. Hold on a second. The curse is specifically get a human to say I love you.
Well, a human that hates fairies genuinely with all their heart.
And the only way to prove that they do hate them is to kill one.
Like, the stipulation even might have been like, hey, you hate so much that you killed. Or like just genuine hate so bad that you have to turn a human that hates so much and that then loves. That's the basic premise. I'm probably missing a needle in there, but that's the premise.
All right.
Oh, you got that?
I'm following.
So Amarantha, all of them, Tamlin gets taken. They're all in this, it's like the mount, something under the mountain it's called.
Ask away. Amarantha's got all these powers, right? Yeah. And like basically took it all.
Yes.
A while ago.
The powers,
this isn't new.
Yep.
This isn't a new thing. Why did she wait? Why did Amarantha wait this long to just take Tamra if she likes him and is crazy?
Because there was some politics in the background. She still had to grow. This happened 50 years ago. She had a lot of the power, but she still had to make moves in the background type thing. Couldn't happen overnight.
She had to give Tamra a chance for the plot.
Exactly. She had to give mainly Fairy a chance to meet Tamlin and all this stuff.
Okay.
Oh, it gets better. So there's
this is a lot to drop on the the servant 3/4 of the way into the
this is coming from the servant. She's dropping this all on Fairy, and Fairy now has the information that Tamlin, all of them, were taken to the place under the mountain area where Amarantha, all the high fays, they're all kind of there. This is where
they're waiting for Fairy to come save them.
Is where the rest of the book happens. Okay, so she goes there and she shows up, and the first thing she basically sees is next to Amarantha. You know, Tamlin's there, basically a pet right now, because Amarantha loves Tamlin, and Tamlin is staying stoic and not saying a word because he doesn't want to show Amarantha what's affecting him emotionally, because I'll explain that. I should have said this in a different order, but Fairy walks in and sees, basically hanging there on the cross, the girl's name she gave earlier.
Ah,
the girl's name.
The predictable thing that happened.
So she was tortured and marred and killed and brutally destroyed. We didn't see all that happened, but we see the tortured dead body.
Oh.
To the person that Amarantha thought Tamlin loved. Then she sees Fairy and says, instead of killing you, I'm going to give you 3 tests.
Why?
So she says to Fairy, to prove that, you know what, she says, you got 2 options, Fairy, okay? Bear with me.
Either die or I'll give you everything you want.
So she has 2 options. Either one, okay? One, she can pass these 3 trials. The second option is you could solve this riddle. And the answer to the riddle, what's the story about, Rich?
A court of thorns and roses.
A romance is about what?
Psychopathic dependency?
A blank story.
A what?
A blank story. What's the word?
I don't want to use the word love with this. Yeah, but I don't think this is love. If this is love, I don't want it. It sounds terrible.
You have to eat people. It's awful.
You have to eat people. You have to kill your friend, kill the neighbor. Oh, my God.
So the answer to the riddle is love. It's pretty obvious that it's love.
Oh.
But she can't answer it. She doesn't know the answer to the riddle when the riddle is told to her. She goes,
she's dumb.
Fairy's young, okay? She's innocent, and she loves Tamlin, who's like 500 years old, and she's like in her teens.
Okay. All right. All right. All right.
Yeah, uh-huh. I just thought of that too. Yeah, Tamlin's very old. She's very young.
That seems to be a trope.
It's a general trope. Yeah. So she has to go through the three trials because she can't solve the riddle. So
can I please be read the riddle?
You want the riddle?
I want the riddle.
Okay. Let me
I want to see how stupid she is. Okay. Maybe I'm prejudging.
Okay,
it's a pretty tough riddle.
I'm gonna cut to me finding the riddle. Here we go.
Could be a tough riddle.
Okay, here it is.
Okay, give it to me.
There are those who seek me a lifetime, but we never meet. And those I kiss, but who trample me beneath ungrateful feet. At times I seem to favor the clever and the fair, but I bless all those who are brave enough to stare, or to dare. By large, my ministrations are soft-handed and sweet, but scorned I become a difficult beast to defeat. For though each of my strikes lands a powerful blow, when I kill, I do it slow.
The answer is a love story?
The answer is love.
Oh.
Love. But Fairy doesn't know that yet. She has to go through the trials, and the three trials, the first one, just to show that Dune influences all, she faces a sandworm.
Oh. She does?
Yeah.
An actual sandworm.
A worm. A big worm. A big worm. She has to kill the worm by putting up the bones of the things the worm ate and spike them. It's pretty good. It's smart. She puts it, and the worm dies. It's a good scene. And then after that, Tamlin is the second trial is...
It is very confusing that there's the group of fairies, and
she's
the
called Fairy.
Fairy. That's not...
That
I don't like
that. It is a big qualm with the
book. I've been very confused every time you're like, the fairy, and I'm going like...
Fairy.
Fairy, okay.
Fairy versus fairies. Tamlin. But so here's what happens. The second trial, Fairy has... There's three boxes, essentially, and she has to pick the right one, something like that. And she can't read.
Okay.
I forgot to mention that, but she can't read the thing on it, and so she can't read, but part of it, she gets helped in the background and gets the answer from someone who's helping her in the... Like, that's also against Amarantha, gives her the answer type thing. So
Cannibal, kills innocent people, cheater. Okay, all right.
So of the three she has to select, she ends up picking the right one because she gets the answer type thing. There's a little back subplot story, but we'll talk about that more in the spoiler section when you've read the book, okay? So does that, and then the third and last trial is she has to kill. There's three people with the hoods on, and she has to kill them each.
Well, she's pretty good at that.
Oh, she kills the first one. No problem.
She's pretty good at killing these people.
In her head, she's like, I shouldn't do this. She kills the person. But then by the end, she gets to the last person, and it's Tamlin. And she has to...
Hold on a minute. Yep. This isn't like a fight to the death against Amarath's people.
No, she has to kill
just
them.
Like innocent people captured.
Yes, innocent people captured. And Amarantha gives the innocent person, says, kill this person if you really love him. So kills the person, gets the Tamlin. Yeah, right? gets to the third person, unveils the hood. It's Tamlin. She has to kill Tamlin to prove she loves Tamlin.
That's stupid.
So, of course, instead, she figures out, solves the riddle's love, solves it. Tamlin gets his powers back, turns into a beast. All the fighting happens. Amarantha goes down. And then, love story over. Fairy wins. Fairyland, book two. Let's go. Love it. Do you want to take a breather and we cut to you having read the book?
I'm before that, just to...
Yeah, any questions?
Hey, women in the audience, when you're looking at us reading our big old action books and our our Red Risings, our our Wheel of Time, stuff, or just our slop, anime slop, whatever cheap manly garbage, you have no legs to stand on. This is like,
Rich, could have misinterpreted this beautiful book. So you are going to have to read it for yourself.
I'll read it.
You're going to read it for yourself. See where I was right or wrong. I just loved so much explaining this plot to you. I didn't have a bad time.
It sounds like it moves pretty quick.
It's a quick one.
All right. You'll see me in 2 seconds and me in like a week. So.
All right. Cutscene. Bye, everybody.
So I finished ACOTAR. And I felt inclined to be in a mood. So I wanted to set the scene.
You're appropriately.
You're looking dashing, Richard.
You're looking mighty dapper yourself.
Now that you've officially read ACOTAR.
Yeah.
How did my spoiler-free stack up to the best worst book of all time?
You properly set my expectations. Without your prepping of this book, mm-hmm. I would have liked the book a lot less. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it more after our discussion. I know it would have been worse.
Did you enjoy it because you got to read it and you know you could talk about the steaminess with me?
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking while reading on a plane, which, by the way, reading ACOTAR on a crowded airplane, shoulder to shoulder.
Was it the physical or ebook?
Both. I had ebook in my ear. It's a weird thing. And I feel like I dipped my toe into what I know way more women deal with. And I gotta say, you women are just psychopaths. Like, this is light. Like, this is a romance. It ain't smut. There's actual smut out there. How the hell are you listening or reading smut in, like, public settings? Like, just out in the open. I was uncomfortable listening to the steamy sex scenes on a crowded plane. It made me uncomfortable.
Let's set this conversation and the mood, since the mood's okay. Nice, with saying a very true and specific thing.
The sex scenes in here are better than basically every sci-fi fantasy book I've read.
The reason, so this ACOTAR review, why it's the best, worst book ever. It is the epitome of, you know, 90 Day Fiancé TLC stuff. It is Love is Blind. It is, you know what? I'm going to watch it anyways. Stop me, okay? For decades now, centuries now, fantasies had somewhat of this stronghold of, you know, the guy and the guy fantasy, you write the hot woman who's just like, she's not one of the girls. She's yeah. different. She's different than the other girls, but she's still hot though. And I'm just gonna. Yeah.
On one hand, is like,
yeah.
She knows how to, like, she's one of the boys, but also she's just really hot
and
for
feminine
you
too.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And she's just, you're just gonna rampage her. And then you're reading these sex scenes, and fantasy books can very much, you know, let's start this conversation. I'm gonna say two things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fantasy books, let's be honest, sometimes those guy fans, especially the 80s, can dehumanize and really objectify women. And it's about time woman came back and objectified us. It's about damn time, woman. And I feel properly, honorably objectified.
Oh,
I
yeah,
feel,
no, it's...
Oh, baby.
It's well-deserved.
Oh, baby.
Tamlin. Is... As object, it is as bad as a character as the typical, like, Conan the Barbarian women. Like, it's almost one for one on badly written, just a piece of eye candy. Like, they are completely objectified.
The females in that story that you just, whatever,
yeah.
you didn't even name them because they didn't even probably have a name. It was just a woman with hot stuff.
You know what? Maybe, okay. Give Sarah J. Maas a little credit.
Yeah.
A notch up. I remember Tamlin. Like, it at least has a name, you not blonde bimbo number three.
Tamlin. Now, where do we begin with this story?
Okay.
Now, let me begin with something here to preface.
Mm-hmm.
So I explained the plot to you.
Yeah.
You got into it. What were you expecting? Was you expecting exactly what I said, and you got that?
I was expecting worse.
Oh.
And I will say it was more competent than you let on.
Uh-huh.
But everything you said was right.
So you would say that this surpassed your expectations. ACOTAR was better than you thought it would be.
Oh, 100%.
Oh.
It's 100% better than I thought it was going
to
be. I'll be honest, it wasn't difficult to read until basically the ending.
Like, everything, the whole trial portion?
Yeah.
With Amarantha. Amarantha ruined the ending. She was something
yes.
else.
Yeah, Amarantha was the worst part. Everything else was fine. Like,
were you feeling...
I have plenty of complaints. But it was not a chore to read. Just kept, like, there are books out there where you're like, oh, Jesus, another chapter. I just got to put it down. It was a page turner. Kept reading.
Yeah.
So there's that. I liked it more than I thought I would.
Were you with me here? The first couple chapters of setting up Feyre's character and her family dynamic, not a bad start.
Not a bad one, but also I thought it was a little funny. Of like, it felt over the top. You know what I mean?
She's such in the shitter.
Like, yeah.
her mom's dead. Her dad's leg's broken. Her sisters hate her. She just killed a fairy, right? Fairy, Feyre. Right. The name's always confusing.
I hate it. I hate her name. Well, I hate that her name is Feyre.
Yeah.
And there are fairies. It was too much for me. My brain, like, they are too close to being spelled the same and they sound the same. That took me way too long to, like, actually get it right. I listening to the audiobook and reading it, I would read the word fairy, like fairy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop myself from going, like, no.
It's a Feyre.
Feyre.
It's like Bilbo being called Robert. Robert. Like, if his name was Robert,
oh, yes.
And you'd go like
Robert,
okay,
the Hobbit, like,
yeah,
ugh.
Robert, okay, Hobbit, Robert, Robert the Hobbit,
yeah, no,
Feyre the talk with the fair. It's just, it was a linguistic thing, you know.
Yeah, no, yeah. It bothered me a little bit, but other than that, I
the start though, she was in the shitter,
yeah, and I'm just like, you know what, this girl has some real daddy issues. Like, the worst character of her family is definitely her father. Her father's the worst. Like, be like, oh, but her sisters are mean to her. It's like, her father is less than worthless. He offers nothing but harm. He's a complete liability as a parent. And it's like, I get why she has, like, daddy issues.
Now,
I was wondering, is that sexist of me to think? Like, going like, hey, this romance about, like, kind of this Stockholm syndrome of like, hey, this strong father figure, like, gross. Older man comes and kidnaps younger girl and kind of forces
old is
them
Feyre?
To fall in love. I think it's young.
Can I go fact check that real quick? We'll be back in one second.
I think it's like 17.
Just fact checked. Yeah. So Feyre's 19. And Tamlin is 510.
At least she's 19. She's not written to be 19.
At least she's...
I'll be honest, how she's written, it seems like she's a lot younger.
At least she's... So I see what you're saying of, hey,
I'm just saying,
not
she's
a
very,
minor.
She sounds immature is what I'm just getting at.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
That's how it sounds.
You know what I'm very curious about, too?
Hmm.
I'm very curious with Feyre and Tamlin's relationship, and you got Rhysand in there, too. We'll talk a little bit about
that.
But I'm curious, for the audience this is targeted for, the romance, the females out there,
mm-hmm.
if this is your thing, is the age gap the kind of the oh, he's dangerous, but he's the creature of the night? Is that, just commenters, please say below... Is this what you want? Is this the ideal man? Because I will start changing him. You know what's interesting? I had my girlfriend also, mm-hmm. buddy, read this with me. And yeah. She stopped after a chapter or two, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what?
She has better taste.
That's a good quality to have in mm-hmm. in your future wife, you know? It's a solid quality. I was like, that's good, honey.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's not for everybody. But hey, maybe there's the guys out there that like this as well. And I want to put the stance of, hey, we're not trying to be over masculine. Be like, oh,
no,
we don't have.
We're getting in touch with our sensitive side.
Here's the thing: we do have fragile masculinity. That's shelve that aside. Mm-hmm. Where, like, genuinely, ACOTAR, I mean, is the best and worst and best. I would fight somebody to the death if they said this book was awful. I would say, you're wrong. Tamlin's the freaking king. Feyre is a boss-ass bitch. And then if somebody said this was their favorite ever, or if they liked it, if they said they liked it, I'd say, you're wrong, nerd.
You should love it.
You should love
it. Well, okay, I just gotta, like, mention this about Feyre.
Of course.
So she's starting off, like, ultimate sympathy for mm-hmm. her, right? Yeah, yeah, of, like, yeah. Man, her sisters are awful to her. They're just terrible. She's basically supporting her family. Her father is just deadbeat, nothing, life-sucking, worthless hunk of a man. And then they talk about, like, her boy toy in the village. And at first you're like, oh, okay, whatever. That's just your boy toy.
Yeah.
There was a moment, like, afterwards that I had to, like, go back and read a second of, like, she said, oh, yeah, but now he's getting married or is married now, and I haven't, like, gone back to him. It's like okay, he's moved on. And then kind of almost immediately, he's like, oh, come on, and let's go bang in the barn. And she knows he's married. Basically, like, and I was like, it's not the best quality in your main kid. So I was like, well, that's a shitty thing to do.
You know what else is a shitty thing to do? To say some random person in a town next door is your name when you could have given any fake name, and she ends up getting tortured and bludgeoned and ripped apart.
That she knew that was probably going to happen. That's why she didn't give her name.
Now, here's the thing. You're asking for flawed characters. She's a flawed main character.
Yeah. Yeah. She also, like...
She's no Mary Sue.
She killed and ate her future husband's best friend.
So when you're explaining the plot to somebody, it's going like, yes, that did happen.
Yeah.
It's a strange...
There's a lot of strange things here. It's...
What'd you think about the big midpoint where it starts to get real steamy? That night where...
Okay, I thought it was going to be way worse.
You did?
I was prepped, and I was like, the way you sounded it, I thought that she was going to be basically raped by this guy and then somehow also fall in love, which was going to make it just worse. I was like, I was going into, like, expecting that scene, and then ultimately nibble on the neck, and I'm like, Okay.
You were expecting, like, you were expecting awful, and you got,
I was expecting okay. awful, and then it went down to, like, a little non-consensual neck nibbling, which not good to do at the office, but that's not rape. And so I was like, oh, this is not as bad as I thought.
If
and,
it's not yeah. good to do at the office, why have you? We're not going to talk about.
This place doesn't count as an office.
Just clarifying. This is the worst office ever. If this is an office. So you were expecting much worse.
I was expecting much worse. But I did have some fun.
Wait, what? Where?
I had some fun with just the characters. I found them ridiculous. Like, mainly everyone but Feyre.
Feyre, right.
Feyre, good. What are your thoughts on Tamlin?
Tamlin?
Yeah.
I think of Tamlin when I go to sleep. I think of Tamlin when I awake. Tamlin is...
what every man should be?
No, what every man can't be. That is... It's, again... It's we deserve this, Rich.
Oh, 100%.
Men have dominated fantasy for too long, and Sarah J. Maas is showing us what we have done.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, hey, how do you like the shoe on the other foot?
And
it's,
you know what? I kind of respect it.
Oh, no, hey, look, all the more power to you. Like, to some degree, like, is it better to have, like, fully realized characters and it's like, with wisdom and experience, you can write both men and women to a certain respectable degree. Of course. That's mm-hmm. nice. I like
that. That's your M.O. Wangs. Your M.O. Wangs is like, yeah, come on now.
I enjoy reading those.
Mm-hmm. However,
I think both sexes should be allowed. They're just little, like, yeah, you know, they're a little fantasy. Yeah. Like, ridiculous. It's like, yeah, it's not realistic. The other sex, sometimes you look at the other sex as just eye candy and, like, wish fulfillment of, like, that's what I want them to be, because the reality is actually difficult because I have to communicate and compromise,
yeah,
and all things that, like, I don't want to do that. I just want easy, simple fantasy.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Both.
We're all allowed.
We're all allowed.
To it's have all our fine. Smutty, objectifying. You know what? Okay.
It's great.
And here's the thing, too. Everybody I ask, every female, every person,
mm-hmm,
every person who says they don't like this book, and every female who reads this and goes, like, that's not what I want in a man. This has millions. M with a millions of sales. Some of you are lying. Who is lying? Are we in a niche bubble?
No. Or, here's the thing.
Who's no, Rich, who is lying to us? Someone.
It's women on hold. Let's be honest. Sales numbers don't lie. Men like big boobs. That's why. That's why they sell.
Let's have an honest conversation.
You put a big pair of titties on Book Game, it'll probably sell much better with men. And for some, you know, 50 Shades of Grey is one of the highest sold books of all fucking time. There's a reason. It's not like fictional. It's not like, oh, it was all a goof. Sarah J. Maas is one of the highest selling authors in America. A reason. It's not everyone is doing it for a meme. People resonate with it.
We're only able to meme it because so many people love it.
Yeah.
Or at least read it. I'm so confused. And hey, if you are a stan, if you love ACOTAR, down below, give us your thoughts and your reasons.
Yeah,
tell us down below. And I'll
be honest,
utterly curious.
What I most enjoyed this book was putting myself into a perspective that I don't normally see. Like, I, for the most part, I read a lot of fantasy, sci-fi, and a lot of that is tailored toward a male-centered audience. And I'll read, like, basically most action-heavy, you know, fighting, bang-bang, swords and shields and guns, and blah, blah, like, yeah, for the most part, that's a
guy-centric thing, yeah.
I don't read fantasy, romance, or, like, where the entire point of this book was the communication connection between these two characters.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, the romance is handled, okay, on her end, significantly better than on his end, which is exactly the same thing with stuff like, remember when we read Fire Upon the Deep?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or yeah, just any of the sci-fi books where, like, immediately the meets
Neuromancer.
Woman.
Neuromancer is a great example.
Neuromancer is a better example.
Case treats Molly like a piece of meat.
He does. And just, like, she's cool, she's badass, but also she just wants to ride him every, you know, noon and past Sunday. Like,
right.
Sure. Okay. To a certain degree, you understand why Case likes her.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Case is a better written character than Molly. I mean, Raleigh actually has something, but that's another time. But the point is, like, yeah, that's targeted toward the male audience. This one, targeted toward a female audience. What are a broad swath of women looking for in the fantasy guy? What are the traits? What is it, like, makes them, if at least not, like, oh, this is what we want, this is what interests us. Maybe that's something. I found that very fascinating. Because, yeah, I just don't get
again,
to see
that's
that.
The question I have, though, because I think a lot of people give you the pushback of, no, this is not what.
Thing is,
but
the numbers don't lie.
It's like this, guys. So this is also a trend as well.
Mm-hmm.
Guys can be very visual. Females can, in general, be very like when they read something or just the trigger in your brain.
Oh, yeah, no.
For guys, it can just be like porn is a bigger issue for guys than female. Women watch porn too.
Hey, look.
But
for the most part, 50 Shades of Grey is just woman's porn. It's literary format.
So you look at the different audiences, it seems like
guys are not reading the Playboy magazine articles.
Honest. Guys are looking at, oh, googly moogly.
Googly.
And women, they'll read something, get some emotional connection. Well, and it's something about the story there and the excitement.
The power fantasy, the like
the back and forth, the will they, won't they.
The dynamics
between the two.
And it goes both ways. Like, the better emotional intelligence than us guys that are going like, oh, rock do thing. And then we all hail the rock. Yes, the rock did the thing. Oh! And then woman reading something like this, where we're reading Tamlin, we're reading her and just going like, ah, this is something else.
I just want a man who like is older than me, has all this power, wealth, money, is super ferocious, is willing to like, he's a monster. He can kill these people in the battle. But to me, he shows his softer side.
Yeah.
That like, he's a monster for me. I mean, like, I am the one that brings out his softer side.
To the Beauty and the Beast.
It is Beauty and the Beast. If it's not clear, this is Sarah J. Maas retold Beauty and the Beast. It's what it is.
It's Beauty and the Beast with aged up.
There's an age gap, I think, in the original Beauty and the Beast.
Aged up for the audience. Beauty and the Beast, more for, hey, story time.
I get you. Yeah.
Sergey Mass is writing it for women, and where Beauty and the Beast is writing it for the kids.
Disney version, yes.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Disney version everyone knows, not the fairy tale version. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that gets a little grimmer.
Yeah, probably. Disney just said, let's change all those to be neat.
Well, okay. We're talking about these relationships between Tamlin and Farrah. Farrah.
I got it. Yep, you got it.
There's also a surprise third part of this love triangle. What were your thoughts on, what is it?
Rhysand?
That's the name.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that? Because
gives us pretty rapey vibes.
Gives us very rapey vibes.
No.
And like, by the end, you're supposed to take it as like, yeah, he was rapey. Not rapey, sexual assaulty, but he was doing it for good. For her own good. That's not good.
You know, if anyone's noticing this whole conversation on ACOTAR, we're trying our best to like, we're trying our best to word this in a way where people understand, hey, rape, we're not bad.
Sexual assault.
Bad.
Not good.
Never good.
But what I got from this message is sometimes what this particular woman, not women in general, but this particular woman in the story wants it or appreciates is like
fantasizes
a little bit of sexual assault, but like for my own good. I don't know.
So here's the thing. What we're trying to conflate is
because, okay, here's the thing.
Yeah.
It could, if this was written at the end of the book, it's shown as like, hey, this is not good. This is bad. It'd be like that character is not the hero, not a villain, but like the end of the book is showing like, oh, I misunderstood him. Actually, he was doing this for my sake, and kind of like layering it up for a spinoff of like, I don't know how I feel about him. It's like,
it's the love triangle of like, oh, do I take the guy who's hundreds of years older than me and like tricked me into
all hundreds of years older than her.
That tricked me into coming to his house and then nibbled me. And or the man who okay, maybe here's the line as well where Sergey Maas
drugged me and paraded
me
mostly nude in front of everyone else.
Yeah, the thing that's supposed to be
multiple nights every
day. At least he didn't do that to me.
He only copped a feel.
Yeah, he only did. It's again, oh, you didn't do the extreme, so that makes it okay. I'm just getting very weird messages or what's trying to be said here. And I guess maybe we're looking too into it and supposed to be, listen, Farrah is, I'm trying to see the people that like this. What's the reason? Help me understand.
This is both, I think, for guys and girls.
Yeah.
Human beings kind of like value the risque, the little forbidden, the taboo,
naughty.
Basically, if everything is like up and up, it's like, it's not exciting.
Yeah.
Taboo, forbidden, risky, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And so book deals into like, you know, it's a little taboo, it's a little risque. I mean, that's what makes it exciting. I think it's
pretty easy to go over. And so the balancing the line is, what lines can those guys cross? And there are some things that if they did cross, it's like, that's a no-go. So you have to make it both exciting but still acceptable. They have to get right up to that line and then not cross it. Because if they do cross it, then it's like, no. Like, if Tamlin killed Feyre's dog, nope, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how hot he is. Still going to no-go. If he actually
Tamlin, you know how How I Met Your Mother, it's the hot crazy scale?
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
With female, it's the hot psycho scale. How hot is the guy compared to
how much of a psychopath?
I fear for my life. That kind of thing. Yeah. So because guys, you know, you're doing the hot crazy, like, the hot crazy scale versus the...
Oh, reaching out to the women here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the lesson I learned from this book, which, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a little hot if you're a little bit scared.
But not too scared.
Not too scared.
Because it's a little bit like the hot psychopathic scale.
Like, realizing, like, oh my God, this guy actually could, like, destroy me. Like, oh, oof. I don't want to get on his bad side. He's dangerous. And, like, that's the thrill, is he's dangerous, but then, like, you tame him. Like, it's my guess.
And also, yeah, it's the, you would never want to be unsafe with somebody, but the thing is, Feyre doesn't feel unsafe. She feels...
Eventually.
At the beginning with, maybe here's what we're getting to. I think we're dissecting this book.
Oh, yeah.
I think by the end, this is going to be our favorite novel. Forget Wheel of Time.
Forget Red Rising. I don't need swords and action.
I just need
some slow back and forth, you know.
I guess you'd still, you're still getting swords in ACOTAR.
Do you?
That was a euphemism.
Ah, yes, you do. The royal sword.
Yeah.
You know, Feyre, you know, sheathed the royal fairy sword.
Can I just say, look at this. We got a candle out. We dimmed the lights. We dressed up for a podcast episode.
My mother watches this.
I just want to say aside, life's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to tell my mom to skip this one. That'd be wise. I hope she skips it.
I'm going to send this to your mother just to make sure she watches it.
Please no.
So, what was our point there? We were talking about the hot psycho scale, fearing for your life. Okay, yeah, breaking down what the kind of message is. Because look at the hot crazy scale for guys. Mm-hmm. Hot crazy scale is like, oh, she's too crazy. Then, I wouldn't want to sleep with her because that would be a whole mess. Was it Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother? Right?
No, just and then how hot they have to be.
Yeah.
To deal with the crazy.
Yeah. Versus maybe this scale is the hot psychopath scale. Like how much do I fear? If I fear for them too much for how hot they are, oh my God, I might die. Like that's a crazy person. You got to be safe.
Here's the thing. Completely safe. Like a completely safe individual is not hot. Because completely safe means no power.
Right, Bob from marketing.
No one's fucking Bob from marketing. But no, it's the whole idea of are you kind because you can't be mean, or are you kind because you choose to do it? So it's
you're capable of violence, but you do not do it because you have control.
Tamlin's kindness and his warmth and the security he offers is only valuable because he's capable of great violence and great destruction and, like, that kind of danger.
Right.
It's valuable because he is dangerous to the world, but not to her.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if he's just not dangerous to anybody, that's not. Like, then him being safe is not really anything special. That's just who he is.
Yeah,
it's kind of like her boy toy back in the town, like, what power does he have? What sweat? Like, he's not dangerous to anybody.
Yeah.
There's not much of a love connection. Like, she's safe around him, but that's not really his choice. That's just because he's not powerful.
Yeah, and
has no influence.
Do other people respect you?
Yeah.
Because you look at a partner and you go, man, so if you're looking at Tamlin here, looking at a guy, if no one respects the person, if no one looks to them for advice or no one is friends with them, or there's all these bad red flags and going, wow, they have no position to where anybody listens to them, or they're not in, you know, they're not in charge of anybody, or they're not even part of a social group. They don't. That's immediately putting all these things of, why does nobody else look to them for something? I want the person that everybody else is looking at. Kind of like the guy is going, oh, the girl that walks into the bar and every guy's eyes look at her. That guy's immediately going like, oh my God, she's so valuable. Like, everyone's looking at her. Oh, I want her too. And then you use that. Mm-hmm. And then the female's going, oh man, this guy who everybody respects, Tamlin, he's the head of this whole, the Spring Court. And he's got this Lucian who's with him, and his bud, and Alice, who's he's got this influence. And then the female's going, or the favorite's going in here. Oh, that's a man that I want. Other people respect. Other people want him. Other people, I want him too.
Well, it's instantly becomes valuable if it's harder to obtain.
Yeah.
So, him being, everyone wants what you can't have. And that's basically it. Like, who are you to basically own the affection of one of the lords of the Fae? Like, right. One of these powerful beings that controls all this, like, that's pretty exclusive. So, I don't know. It just makes me think about the idea of being safe, being kind, all of these positive qualities that someone may say, like, oh yeah, this is what I want. That's not it on its own. It's you're giving that person safety, security, stability, because you're capable of chaos, you're capable of destruction, you're capable of this. That's what makes it really attractive.
It's that rarity in a sense too, mm-hmm. where no one's going and trying to put a stone on their finger or on their neck. They're looking for a diamond.
Well, think about, like, there's several scenes where Feyre sees Tamlin be a monster. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the claws are out. Like, he's ripping them up. He's going out. He's fighting. He's got blood on him, and she's scared of him. Mm-hmm. Terrified of, like, oh my God, he could rip me to shreds. Oh my God, he's one of the high lords of the Fae. And she sees, like, him when he's in his beast's form and all like that, and he's going nuts and crazy. And then she sees the sensitive side when he actually becomes vulnerable to her. And so it's that dichotomy, and she, like, sees, oh, I can bring out his sensitive side. And so, yeah, he's capable of all these terrible things.
But not with me. Yeah. And I think when
we're learning some stuff, I think this is what the book's
telling us. Okay,
yeah.
Tell us if we're wrong.
Hey, if we're wrong, that's not me. That's
wrong. Hey, Sarah Jane Mass. If we're wrong, she's wrong.
Exactly.
Not exactly.
It's not us. It's Sarah Jane Mass.
Blame the woman.
Blame the woman. Yeah.
So I know why Tamlin likes Feyre. You know why?
Huh.
The two women in his life are Feyre or Amarantha. Who would you choose?
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna sound a little sexist here.
What?
I just had this thought came up. I gotta express it. I'm sorry.
I'm so ready for this.
Okay. Introduction of Amarantha.
Uh-huh.
I laughed on the plane with it.
With what?
When Feyre walks in,
uh-huh,
and sees Amarantha, it's like, oh yeah, she's kind of pretty, but not as pretty as me.
Oh, is that what she said?
Basically, like, there's something about her that, like, it's in her eyes that she's become hollow, and it's specifically talking about how unattractive she particularly is, and, like, making across the point that Feyre is prettier than her. And I was just kind of looking, and I was like, of course the female villain is like, oh yeah, our main hero is actually much prettier than the villain. Like, I just saw it, I was like going, okay. I felt like, of course. It's the male equivalent of, I don't know, just the,
of course I have a bigger car.
Yeah, like, it's like, oh yeah, I'm the macho man. I'm the strongest. You know, I don't know. I saw it, I was like,
Of course.
So you were walking in there going, Feyre was seeing like, Amarantha. She was viewing Amarantha through Tamlin.
Well, it's the wish fulfillment eyes. Yeah, of course.
You want your main protagonist to have it all going on.
Yeah. That is, especially by the end. Like, no, she's the prettiest.
Got it.
Okay. I felt a little sexist reading that moment of going, of course she is. Of course Amarantha is not as pretty.
Of course she's the ugly bitch.
You can't have the villain be prettier than her. No.
Well,
like you can't have the villain be stronger than our main male character. Like, he's not a...
The villain is more cowardly than
our hero.
Rich, what I'm about to say is targeted at you in the best way.
Oh,
I'm going to say, for the first time, Rich, before I say this,
a
deep part of me somewhere does really care for you.
Oh, don't do that to me.
You know where I'm going.
It's going to hurt.
You know where
it's going to hurt.
So you just explained that with Amarantha. The romance I see here is like the flip side of what happens in the Wheel of Time for the guys.
Yeah.
It's like the romance equivalent in Wheel of Time, like, you know, Perrin or Rand, or all the women love Rand, or Perrin and Faye, or whatever. It's like, Faye. It's the same thing in reverse.
100%.
So all we need to look at here is... Yeah. Guys have the same thing in their wish fulfillment.
Men do it. Women do it. It's all fine.
If everyone does it, it's fine.
It's all cool.
It equals hell. So, I'm rethinking
Here's the thing.
Now.
Wheel of Time, though, has inside it the opposite, too. It has the Lan and Nynaeve, which is like, Lan is your... I would say closer to your Tamlin, where she kind of falls in love with.
Don't go too into spoilers territory, just for people.
I know, but your male characters have like the female version. Was like, the woman just kind of like sees them, love it, male fantasy wish fulfillment. Yeah, no, there's one love story which can. Coincidentally, is actually the best love story in the whole series. That is the reverse, which is, woman, male, the main character falls in love with man over time and actually like grows to.
Which just works better, right?
It works better.
But hey, you see my point?
Oh, I see it. I would just say Lan is woman's wish fulfillment romantic character.
Okay, gotcha.
As close.
Gotcha,
as
gotcha.
You can probably get. He's also just, he's the man's man, too. All people love Lan, but that's fine.
But do all people love Tamlin?
No, I don't think so.
So we touched on Amarantha. I think we've got to focus on her for a minute here. Amarantha and the end of the book and the whole, remember I was explaining to you in the spoiler-free section?
I would have enjoyed this book a lot more if it, like, landed it. It's just Amarantha's whole thing was... dumb.
So what did you think about the final act of the book? What did you think about Amarantha, the three trials, the message about love?
Stupid. It was handled bad. I've danced around a lot of it where like I can understand some stuff. This one was bad. I thought it was stupid.
The reason, so if you notice, this is the first video ever we've never done our rating system. This is beyond rating. It is both a 10 and a 0. It is both. Both exist in the same universe. It's us. This is an exploration to see why it's one of the most popular books out there. So we're establishing that, but when we're looking at the end, you can't see a redeeming quality. You can't see why would somebody like that. Because, hey,
okay,
is there something there?
Okay. On a plot level, it's where Feyre, goes through probably the most physical crap and to deal with to really prove her love to Tamlin. So like maybe that's the exciting part. That's where a lot of stuff goes down. Happens. It's not just talking. She's actually has to, there's a lot more action in that part.
Sandworm from Dune.
Okay. It was hilarious. Like, she couldn't read. That was one of the puzzles.
logically, like, of course, yeah, I know she doesn't read, but like,
I feel like Sergey Vest put in some features of Feyre's character, like, oh, she paints, by the way, like, oh, okay, oh, she also can't just adds things to make her more have more personality or make her more rootable. Oh, yeah. She can't read. I should feel bad for her. Or, oh, she paints. She's an artist. Cool. Which it does nothing for the story, but it's just there and exists.
But just the whole Amarantha, like, her whole plan of, oh, yeah, one, this human woman has nothing to offer me. I might as well just kill her now, I guess. Entertainment. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to offer you 3 trials to save your one true
after
love.
After I tortured the first person to death and gored them their eyes out, but you, main character, trials.
Yeah. You get trials, and some of them are quizzes, and you get riddles. other woman got spooned her eyes out and, like, just skinned or flayed alive. You get a riddle where the answer
and,
is love.
And a multiple choice.
Oh, yeah. 3 choices.
Also,
multiple choice answer.
Also, at the end, where she's like, you know what, Amarantha, I'm gonna. She risks the love of her life, Tamlin, to go on the off chance this human who she hates doesn't kill him.
Who she thinks that Feyre actually doesn't love him.
But risks the person she thinks she doesn't love, Tamlin, to die.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. I will say. Part of it.
Uh-huh.
So you explained that to me, and then I read it,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's a little better than you initially pitched it.
Oh, tell me, yes.
Feyre's point is her whole realizing, like, wait a minute, Amarantha wouldn't risk Tamlin. She loves him.
Yeah.
Why would she put him here? Amarantha knows something that I don't. And that's part of the reason why she was like, oh, he has a heart of stone. He actually won't die because Amarantha wouldn't risk Tamlin. So why she does it.
Oh, I did forget about that. You're right.
So, like,
I overlooked that.
Part of that is
Yeah.
Now, it's still kind of dumb.
That just upped my rating for the book.
It's still kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But
she didn't actually risk his life. You're correct. That, make that correction a note in the.
That was one of the clues.
Yeah. I missed that. I did read that happen, but I forgot that happened because I was just thinking Amarantha was so ridiculous. You know what? I didn't give Sarah J. Maas enough credit. No. I thought I was smarter than her. I am not.
You're not. No.
No.
He understands Sarah J. Maas is more accomplished than you will ever be.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm mostly okay with that because the fact that she sold millions, here's the tough part about this. You know, we didn't love the story, to put it lightly.
No.
I got to. There's something about when something sells so much, it earns a level of respect. Yeah. Regardless of if you think it's slosh. Regardless.
There's something of value there.
And it's, you know, the movie Avatar. A lot of people love Avatar.
Yeah.
I don't like Avatar, but it has billions with a B. Does it mean I like it more than other things? Like, no, it's down there at the bottom of the poll. But enough people read a thing, enough people watch a thing, you go, okay, they got to see something. What am I missing? And it's more the curiosity of seeking the truth, mm-hmm. and going, what is it that I don't see? Why is everybody looking at this? So when you ask people about Avatar, it's like, man, did you see how crazy that, like, look at that film.
Mm-hmm.
And the story about the paralyzed, I mean, that touched me. That makes, look at the themes about invaders versus the colonizer and the nature and fighting for, like, all these themes. I'm going, but I like the themes in this, and this book that do the same thing. But I would say that. But that's why people like it. So when we're exploring ACOTAR, what we're really just trying to come down to is an understanding.
It's, I don't have to agree. I just want to understand why people love this book.
And that is our message. That is our message in this entire video, is we would like to understand, and maybe If this video gets enough, hey, as we're saying, a lot of people watch a certain thing or view a certain thing,
mm-hmm.
maybe we read book 2 if people want.
Oh, don't. Oh, God, please.
In fact, I'm going to guarantee Richard is reading it by, I'm just going to make a promise you can't fulfill. Yeah, we'll say this.
Let us know. Let us know in the comments, like, hey, does it get better in the second book? I imagine it's going to
retell a different fairy tale, kind of like this was Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
I imagine for some reason my brain is telling me the Little Mermaid is the one being told next. I could be wrong. For some reason that's in my head. But
I'm going to end us off with a quote here from the book from Sarah J. Maas.
Oh, wonderful. Let's send us off right.
He eased me onto the bed, murmuring my name against my neck, the shell of my ear, the tips of my fingers. I urged him, faster, harder. His mouth explored the curve of my breast, the inside of my thigh. A kiss for each day we'd spent apart. A kiss for every wound and terror. A kiss for the ink etched into my flesh and for all the days we would be together after this. Days, perhaps, that I no longer deserved. But I gave him myself again to that fire. Threw myself into it, into him, and let myself burn. Which, we're not ending exactly with that, because I just do want to say, that's not badly written. Like,
I'm
not making fun of it, in a sense. It's
Neuromancer
that's better than the guy slosh that we write about women.
100%. Way better.
Rich, I think this was a good podcast.
Yeah. Signing off.
That was great, man.
Oh, yeah. That was 100%.
Yeah.
Really good
Fantastic
job.
Fantastic stuff. What did you really think about it? Did we do pretty well?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.